On the ticket of our Stars broadcast, the great Daryl Razor Ray. Morning, Razor.
What an introduction, Giorgio. I'm not worthy of that. But here we go.
I don't know. Here we go. So when a team does something good late in the season before the playoffs start, in this case the last game right before the playoffs start, we always wondered, what does that mean? So what does, in addition to improving their seeding, what does that mean for the Stars team and what they did yesterday?
I mean, they needed it in the worst way. They needed to win a hockey game. It was nice that they played better, but if they'd have played better and still lost, then we'd be sitting here talking about a 9-game losing streak heading into the playoffs. I mean, that's unhealthy. It sounds unhealthy. I would think mentally it's unhealthy. So for them to win in whatever manner they won, and I know it was the very, very odd playoff game that ends in a shootout, which we don't have, but we do this year because it's 2020. I think they found some things within that game yesterday that they're just been a void in. They played better as a team. They didn't seem to be sitting around waiting for somebody else to get the job done. Like, guys were way more assertive, and they got another phenomenal performance from Anton Khudobin and Ned. And, you know, there's a couple troubling, unfit to play individuals at the end of the round robin. I think Sagan is fine. They were probably holding him out just because, you know, it's round robin. It's not an actual playoff game. But still, he didn't play a couple of the round robin games, and Ben Bishop hasn't been able to be an everyday guy. So those were the concerns coming out of it. But to score some, you know, enough goals to win and to win a game and go into the playoffs feeling much better than you would have if you'd lost that game, I think it's healthy all around.
So how do you size up this series with Calgary? Is this a good draw? I know in the hockey playoffs, anything can happen. Anything is possible. How do you feel, generally speaking, about the matchup?
Yeah, I think it is a good draw. I mean, you're right. I mean, the Canucks, we'd be saying the same thing about them if they'd have lost yesterday, and we're going to play Vancouver. Vancouver's probably got more team speed. They have a goaltender who's their MVP, and he's shown in past that he can just win games by himself against the Stars. So they've avoided that. And they get the Flambés, who they went through the Jets. There was attrition and execution in that series against Winnipeg. Winnipeg lost some of their most important forwards early in that series. And we're looking at a Flames team that has some individuals who are sort of their bread and butter. Matthew Tkachuk is going to be the most significant guy. Everyone's going to know that name here in a matter of a week or maybe even one period of this series. He's a real rapscallion, if you will. He's the son of Keith, who was a big part of the Coyote Stars rivalries back in the late 90s. And the kid's a terrific player, but he's also just an absolute turd out there on the ice. So it'll be interesting to see how effective he is in the series and how the Stars handle him. Other guys, Johnny Gaudreau, Johnny Hockey. He's 5'9", 150. He's a little guy. Slick, real magician with the puck. But he's been whiny and easy to frustrate in playoffs past, and that's what the Stars would probably like to do to him. Dallas has a better defense, I feel, than Calgary does. They play better defensively. They're better in goal. Hintz, Gurionov, Haskin, and the speed that the Stars have should give some of the Flames some trouble. As much as the Stars' power play has been frustrating, I think it has potential to be a real deterrent to a bunch of the Flames' meatheads, and they have some, not just Tkachuk, but Milan Lucic and Ronaldo, if they play. So I'm a bit of an unabashed homer come playoffs, so I'll say Stars in 5 or 6 in this series. And the other real interesting thing, too, Junior, is that these are the two teams that made very unconventional coaching changes during the season. The Stars had to go from Jim Montgomery to Rick Bowness, conduct issues. The Flames, Bill Peters ended up resigning after some racist comments from his past had surfaced. So they elevated an assistant coach as well, Jeff Ward, and they've played really well under him. So it's a pretty intriguing series. There's not much in the way of playoff history between these two franchises, and they were very close. If you look at them statistically and where they ended up in the regular season, they look very, very similar. I just think the Stars have more what is going to get you through up there in the bubble, and I see them getting through them.
All right, who starts in goal tomorrow for the Stars? You mentioned Ben Bishop has been held out, not fit for hockey right now. Do you think he'll be fit to play tomorrow?
And isn't that just the wildest term, too? And I mean, it just invites so much consternation and conspiracy and everything. He's unfit to play. Who's unfit to play? He gets paid to play.
I know. It just makes me think they got outside the bubble and had a big night or
like
something.
They went to
totally
the
unfit
the
to play.
Or something. I know.
But with the way Hudobin played yesterday, though, do you wrestle with that of if Bishop's not quite 100%? Let's just keep riding what we did against St. Louis.
Yeah, honestly, I think so. I mean, Ben's been off for a while. They do have back-to-back games here in the first three games of the series, which you don't usually have at playoff time. You don't usually play games on consecutive days. But obviously, they're trying to cram this thing in up there in Toronto and in Edmonton where the Stars are. So you're gonna need both goaltenders. It's just the way the world is now at that position. You don't play the same guy 2 days in a row for whatever reason. And I think the analytics back it up. You have better success when you can play both of your netminders. And everybody's playing both their goaltenders. But Hudobin was so good yesterday. He's proved to be extremely unflappable. I think the guys play really, really hard for him. They really do. There are goaltenders like that. That guys just maybe it's the way he plays, maybe it's his attitude, whatever. It becomes infectious, and they play really hard for him. Not that they don't play hard for Ben Bishop, but you know he's a little bouncing ball of goaltending back there, and I think it can help, especially in a fairly sterile environment that they're in up there with no fans in that. So I could see him starting tomorrow, and then in games 2 and 3, you'll probably see both of them, providing that Ben Bishop's health is good enough to get into a game, and then we'll kind of take it from there.
Speaking of those environments, those sterile environments, they've done their job in Toronto and Edmonton. The NHL's been virus-free so far, and it appears to me that most of the guys that I see are fit for hockey. So it's working. Are you impressed with the way it's worked so far?
Yeah, some of it's been unfit to watch, though. I can tell you that, watching some of the games. But, yeah, I mean, my God, what an undertaking. And they get through the round-robin games and the qualifiers. A very odd playoff year, obviously, with some teams that wouldn't be in the playoffs. Getting through actually in the qualifiers and a chance to compete for the Stanley Cup. I just, we'll see here now. I mean, it is on and real for the Stars with playoff games. I know the qualifiers were playoff games and you got a taste of what it's like with no real home ice advantage or fans and the ebbs and flows of the emotions that brings. I really wish it was American Airlines Center in the Saddle Dome for this series. And you get that sort of pulsating mass of victory green, and up in Calgary, they get the green mile or the red mile going outside. But it's 2020. So we get the big bedpan. Rogers Place in Edmonton looks like a bedpan. And you got to create your own emotions or tap down your emotions in that environment. So we'll see. It's just very, very different, but I hope that it comes through both on radio and on television the way that, you know, you would hope it would be, best case. And I think they've done the best that they can. But I still miss having fans there. And I think the players miss having fans in those atmospheres at this time of year especially.
Yeah, so we go to the Stanley Cup playoffs. Someone's going to skate the cup here in a few weeks. When they do, do you really skate it around the arena? I mean, there's no one there to show it to.
I know.
Zamboni driver.
Yeah.
Show it to him.
Yeah. the smattering of people that are in there. Well, the one thing I heard, though, is that once they get, like, the way this is going to unfold, right now the games are being played in both Edmonton and in Toronto. Mm-hmm. And then once we get through the first two rounds, we get down to the conference finals, then the entire production shifts to Edmonton. And all the games will be played in Edmonton, the Western Final, the Eastern Final, and then the Stanley Cup Final. And once they get to the conference final level of this thing, my understanding is they're going to fly families in. So there will be people around.
Okay.
In there, and there'll be family members. I guess they can show them. It'll be odd, though. You'll be in an 18,000 plus seat arena, and there'll be like family and friends for a beer league game on a Thursday night. You know, like,
yeah,
it's going to be odd, but everything about this is really, really strange. The one thing I'm happy to see, though, in the early stages of the elimination games in the qualifiers, handshake lines are a big thing in hockey. You know, it's just that you battle with one another, and at the end of it, shake hands, wish the other guy well. There's a lot of respect. It's one of the great things of the Stanley Cup playoffs. And they were just doing fist bumps with gloves like it was a peewee tournament, you know. And I forget which team it was first. It might have been Calgary and Winnipeg. I'm not sure. But they decided, you know what, let's take the glove off and actually shake hands. I mean, they're getting tested every day. It's the safest place on, maybe on planet Earth, for anti-COVID. So they now shake bare hands, which is good to see.
Yeah. Well, it'll be interesting. Nothing like the Stanley Cup playoffs in August. Glad it's at least a possibility that the season could start back up.
Sit on a patio, Giorgio. Sit on a patio somewhere and just take it all in.
Yeah.
It's the greatest.
I think I'll do it. And by the way, the games do sound great. Either if you take it in here on the ticket, or if you're watching on Fox Sports Southwest, if you just landed here from, I don't know, say 6 months ago and watched it, I don't think you could tell until between periods when you guys are shown in a studio together.
Sounds like you're there.
Yeah, it really does. Yeah, you guys are doing a great job. You and Josh are doing a great job.
It's good to hear. It really is an amazing technical wizardry expedition that we're on, and they've done wonderful things. And how big are the Stanley Cup playoffs? The Hardline does our pregame show tomorrow. Isn't that something?
Right. Wow. That's what I'm talking about.
Big. Yeah.
All right, Razor, thanks for the time. We'll talk again, I believe, on Wednesday after game one. The Flames and Stars.
All right. See you, boys.
See ya. That's Daryl Razor Ray.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draftaccess to register for free entry today.